Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Samach Beis. We will begin on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. 8 lines from the bottom says the Gemara, Hu da'amalei l'chavrei. Somebody said to someone else, Arye de'bechiyah mezamnalach. I'm selling you the property that I bought from Rav Chiya. Havalei tate arsa. And the seller had 2 properties that have a miskar in de'bechiyah. They were called property of Chiya, that he had bought from Rav Chiya. Amar Rav Ashi, Chada Amalei, he only spoke about selling 1 property, Tarti Lo Amalei, because he said Ara. And what becomes a very important part of our discussion in today's shiur is that words make a difference. And therefore, there's a difference between when you use the word Ara or a different word. And Ara means 1 property. Therefore, what he meant to say was that I'm selling you 1 property. He did not indicate which of the 2 properties he meant to sell. He did not indicate which one of them. And therefore, the seller, given the rule that we often learn in Shas, Hamotzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya, so the buyer will end up with the weaker property because of concept of Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. However, says the Gemara, I Omalei, if the seller said to the buyer, Arasa is a Lashon Rabbim. It means that I'm selling you at least 2 properties. Stama, me it's Arasa. When you use the word Arasa, you must be meaning Shtayim. You mean at least 2 properties. Continues the Gemara, V Omalei, if the seller said to the buyer, Kol Arasa. By using the word Kol Arasa, what he means to say is Kol Arasa Disli, every property that I had, Levar Ben Bostani, besides for gardens, or Pardese and vineyards. But otherwise, all properties are included by having said Kol Arasa. The Amalei, if the seller said to buyer, Zihara, which means my inheritance, that means everything I own, then the halacha is, even gardens and vineyards are included. Levar mibati va'avdi. However, homes and avodim are not included. Vim omalei. And if he said the word nachsei, then he said the word nachasai, then says the Gemara, filu bati va'avdi v'shusai, home and avodim are included. That's the way the Rashbam learns our Gemara. And according to the Rashbam, he does not have to say the word kol nechsei. As soon as he said the word nechsei, it includes everything he owns. The Meiri explains that there's a difference between the word arasa, which means the plural of property, so that means it has to be at least 2 pieces of property, versus the word nechsei. The word nechsei covers everything he owns, even batim ba'avodim. The Rebbeinu Yonah, however, has a different girsa in our Gemara. And his girsa in our Gemara is that he said, Kol Nechsei. And in fact, he says, now that I learned that the Gemara says Kol Nechsei, and when I said Kol Nechsei, it means everything, why does he have to say the word Kol? Why is the word Nechsei not enough? Says the Gemara, the word Nechsei means to say that these are properties that I own. And by saying Nechasai, he means properties are owned and doesn't necessarily mean when all the property. Only when he says it with a hey, hey ayidia, doesn't mean all of our property. There's also a discussion amongst the Rishonim. If we use the word Nechasai, so our Gemara, whatever pshat that we follow, says that includes batim avodim. Does it also include metatlin? Some Rishonim say that it does, some Rishonim it doesn't. Taisu says it's different if you said Nechasai with 1 yud or Nechasai with 2 yuds. If you said Nechasai with 1 yud, the metatlin are not included. When you say Nechasai with 2 yuds, you mean everything our own, and then the metatlin will be included. Another point Taisus makes, and there's a difference when we're speaking about a sale versus a gift. By a sale, that says Tosfos, and this will be very connected to a concept that we're going to be discussing quite extensively in our perek. There's a concept of moicher be'ein yofu moicher be'ein ram moicher. Somebody who sells something, extensive discussion, does he mean to be generous or not generous? But when it comes to matana, everybody agrees that if somebody gives a gift, means to be generous. And therefore, there's going to be a difference, says Tosfos, if he did it as a sale, their metantlin are not included, versus when he did it as a matana, where there we say that they are included. The Reinu Yoina differentiates between a wording that we began with saying Nechosai de Bechir Mechur Melach versus Nechosai Mechur Melach. When he wants to sell his assets, then, but he connects them to the person whom he bought it from, them matantlin are not included. But when he doesn't mention where he got these assets from, in that case, where he doesn't mention where he got the assets from, there the assumption is that he meant all of his assets, including the matantlin. Says the Gemara. If somebody says, I'm selling to you a property, and he, in the contract, as he sells the property, puts in the border, the boundaries of this property. Umetzaloi, he put in the border. Mitzad echad oruch, but if we look at this border, the way it's put into the contract, so on one side, the border is longer, and mitzad echad kotzer, on one side, the border is shorter. And the question is, what was included? Amar Rav, to which Rav says, Lekana el kenegad hakotzer. We assume that the sale is only between the two sides of the border that he put into the contract are parallel to each other. The fact that he put in the shorter side on one side means that he only meant to sell up to that point. Amalei Rav Kahana Ravasi L'Rav. Why? We understand that if he didn't put in the entire width of the border on one side, there's a reason for it. But why do we say it means that he's going to be cutting straight down? Why don't we say that what he meant to do was Keneged Rosh Tar, that line should go on a slant from the, let's say he's doing the top and the bottom of the property, or the borders he mentioned. And on the top, he only went halfway. On the bottom, he went the entire length. So instead of saying it's a straight line from where he stopped on the top, why don't we put it on a slanty line? And by making it into a slanty line, the buyer will get a much wider piece of property. Says the Gemara, Shasuk Rav. When this question was asked, Rav remained silent. Now, says the Gemara, Umayda Rav, however, Rav agrees. Hecha deikar meitza ruven mishimah mechad gisa. We're going back to the example we just gave. That on the top of the property, the border that he identified, part of that border belongs to Ruven, and part of it belongs to Shimon, and he mentioned the entire length, the tie with Reuven and Shimon. And on the bottom, it's the property of Levi and Yehuda. And what he did was, when he wrote the contract, he wrote on the top Reuven and Shimon, and on the bottom, he only wrote Yehuda. So since he wrote it that way, and it was very specific that he wrote both owners on the top and only one owner on the bottom, we clearly indicate that he meant it to be a slanty line. Why? Because if he only meant to be selling half the property, or as we just said a moment ago, he meant to do a half line, says the Gemara, Havle Lemichtav Le Reuven Keneged Levi. So we look at these two borders. As we said, the top is Reuven and Shimon. The bottom is Levi and Yehuda. Reuven and Levi face each other. Shimon and Yehuda face each other. So if he only meant half, he shouldn't have mentioned Shimon. And it would be clear he only means to sell the half that correspond to Reuven on top and Levi on the bottom. Mida havelei lemichtev, the Reuven sheneged Levi, or the Shimon keneged Yehuda. But that's not what he did. V'loy kosovlei, he didn't write it that way. He wrote on top Reuven and Shimon, both of them. And on the bottom, he only wrote Yehuda. Shma mino, so it's clearly that he did that with a intention. And what was the intention to sell? How does he mean to sell the property? He meant to only sell it halfway. So the Gemara said that when this question was asked to Rav, Rav remained quiet. And there's a question, what does the Gemara mean that had Rav remained quiet? Tosfos says that Rav being quiet wasn't because he was ignoring the question. He says that since the person that was asking the question to Rav, the people that were asking the question to Rav were of Kahania and Rav Asi, and the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Vav and Beis teach us that they weren't just Talmidim of Rav, they were actually colleagues of Rav, Talmud Chover. Certainly what Rav meant to do here was to admit to what he said, to that what they're saying. And therefore, says Tosfos, since Rav Kahana Rav Asi asked this question and Rav did not respond, the halacha is like Rav Kahana Rav Asi. And so is the opinion of the Ramban and the Rashba. But there are that disagree. And they say, based on the Gemara that we just learned, the Gemara just said, Umay de Rav. If Rav is completely agreeing with what Rav Kahana Rav Asi is saying, Umay de Rav indicates that he partially agrees to what they're saying. But if these Rishonim are right, and Rav is completely agreeing to what he's saying, to what they are saying, then the wording of Amoy de Rav is very misleading. And therefore, there are Rishonim that suggest, that's the opinion of the Rif, that only in the case that we just learned is the situation where Rav agrees with Rav Kahana Rav Asi. But in the first case that Rav Kahana Rav Asi addressed Rav, and the Gemara indeed said, Shosik Rav, it doesn't mean that Rav agrees even in that case. Continues the Gemara. If the way the borders were marked, Meitzer Reuven, Mizrach Umarav. Reuven has two properties that border the property that I'm selling. One is on the Mizrach side of the property, and one is on the Marav side of the property. And Shimon owns two properties that neighbor this property that I am selling. Meitzer Shimon. Shimon owns properties on the Tzofen and the Dorim. So if you want to sell the property, Tzorach, the seller has to write, Lemichtavle, he has to write, Soda Shani Meichelach, Meitzer Reuven, Ruchen Trey, that Reuven has two properties neighboring this property, or makes a Shimon Ruchen train, and Shimon has two properties bordering this property. And he's taking in account all four sides of the property that he's selling. And that's when it's written in such a fashion, then the halacha is that the entire property is sold. Of course, points out the Rashbam, that if the seller will even be more detailed in what he writes. And he's going to write, Soda Shani Meichelach, Meitzer Reuven Goyva by Mitzida Mizrachi Vamarovi, or Meitzer Shimon Goyva by Mitzida Tzvoni Vadroimi, there's no question. But if he just writes, the property I'm selling you is located between Reuven and Shimon's property, so then it's not clear what did he mean to say? Because maybe he only meant to say the property maybe only meant to say that he's selling him half the property, and the way he's going to sell the half the property is on a slant, and he'll have a property that has a border with Reuven and a border with Shimon, but he didn't sell the entire property. Ask the Gemara, Ibailu, Saim Esakronis, if he only, when he's selling the property, he only marked off the corners, just made a slanty line indicating each corner. Mahu, what is included in the sale? Do we say that people don't normally just sell the corners of a field, and therefore we'll suggest that certainly he meant to sell the entire property? Or do we say the fact that he so mentioned the corners, he only meant to sell strips of property that go from one corner to the other corner? And if we'll try to imagine what that means, he sells them an X, one strip from the top right corner, from the corner on the top right to the corner on the top left, and one strip from the corner on the top left to the corner on the bottom right. Now, ask the Gemara, so instead of marking off the corners by these slanty lines in every corner, what he did was he marked off each corner with a gam. Gam is the gimel in Greek, which is, well, it looks to us like a cuff, an ender cuff, a cuff sofit, which is like two sides. Do we say the fact that he marked it off that way, then we say that certainly he meant to mark off all four sides, and therefore, since he meant to mark off all four sides, the entire property that he has marked off is included in the sale. Or do we say what he really meant to do was the same like we said a moment ago, sell strips that go from corner to corner. These strips will obviously be wider than the strips. And the picture of these types of situations are here in Rashi. The first case was this picture that's on the bottom of the Rashbam on the right. And the next case of the Gam is on the left, and the strip is, and we see the difference between the strips. Here we, in the upper picture, we have a narrower strip, and in the bottom picture, we have a wider strip. Ask the Gemara another question. What will be, and we have a diagram for this in the Rashbam as well, what will be if the way he mentioned the border of this property, when he did it b'serugim, that means every corner, every side, to make it easiest, every side is or has two property owners. And he didn't mention all of the property owners. He kept on mentioning one and skipping the neighboring one. What did he mean by doing so? Do we say that when he makes a gam, the case that we just mentioned before, then we say he meant to say that he's selling strips. But here the fact that he is mentioning borders on every side, that he means to sell every whole side, and since he means to sell every whole side, it means he's selling the entire property. Or do we say that since he only mentioned certain properties border, they're going to be two strips. They're going to be bigger strips. Again, as we would see, the Rashbam says, kana loy kana, it'll be much less, but it won't be the entire property. And the Gemara here too says, teku. So the Oruch and the Yad Ramah says in all the cases that the Gemara says, teku, so we apply the halacha of Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya, and the seller is in the upper, has the upper hand, and we don't include in the sale only what is obvious included in the sale. And that is the opinion of the Rosh and the Tor and Choshe Mishpat Simen Resh Yudalit Sif Dalit. The opinion of the Rambam is not like that. he says that in such a case, we follow the concept when we have a teku, we follow the opinion of Shuda the Dina. And in discussing Shuda the Dina, which we're going to have more than once in our shiurim, we remember that there's a question. What is the definition of machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos? How do we define Shuda the Dina? Rashi says that the definition of Shuda the Dina is it's up to the Dayanim to make a decision what they think must have happened here. That is the opinion of Rashi. Tosfos says that the definition of Shuda the Dina is that Beis Din has a right. It's the Dayan's right to make a decision what he feels should be done here. And that's what Shuda Dayan is. We leave it up to the Dayanim to decide what they feel should be done here. They don't have to give an explanation. Rabbeinu Chananel has a third opinion what to do in a situation of a teiku. Rabbeinu Chananel's opinion is that in a situation of teiku, as we have in our Gemara, it becomes like we're going to also have, and we've had, a situation of mamon amutl b'safik. It's questionable what to do. And Simchus, and Rabbeinu Chananel says, everybody would agree that what we ought to be done here is that we follow Shuda the Dina. Continues the Gemara. Meitzaloi, if the seller indicated the border, Mitzay Rishon, Mitzay Sheni, Mitzay Shlishi, from three sides of what he's going to do. It's interesting to point out, by Shuda the Dina, are Dayanim allowed to get paid for their decision? So some want to suggest that the word Shuda comes from the word Shoichad, and therefore, according to those opinion, consistent with the opinion of Tosfos, the halacha will be that the dying can even get paid and decide according to the way he get paid. Most Poskim take great exception that a dying should have a right to Paskim. There's also a discussion in the Rishonim if there's a machloikis and could a dying Paskin and a machloikis amaroyim that hasn't been decided in the Gemara. Some Rishonim are of the opinion, since the Gemara didn't render a decision, a Dayan can make his own decision. There are some Rishonim, however, of the opinion that a Dayan has no right to make a decision and make a decision in a Machlokes Amoraim. So again, says the Gemara, Meitzloi, he indicated the boundary, Meitzrishi, Meitzisheni, Meitzishlishi, from three sides, he indicated a border. However, he didn't indicate the fourth side. Amarav, Surav said, Konakol, even though he didn't indicate the fourth side, the buyer gets the entire property, Chutz Meitzarvi, except from the row on the fourth border, which wasn't indicated. That the fact that he didn't mention that, is clearly an indication that he didn't want to sell the width of one row along that border. Shmuel Amar, Afilu, Meitzrevi Kona, even that becomes included in the sale. Rav Asi Amar Lekona Al Talam Echad Apnei Kulay, so Rav and Shmuel are pretty close to each other. Rav says that he gets the entire property, and Rav says minus the width of one row on that fourth side, and Shmuel says he gets the entire property. So the machlokes Rav and Shmuel is really over the width of one talon. Rav Asi Amar, however, says the Gemara, loy kana el talam echad, he only gets the width of one, his entire purchase is only the width of one talam, apnei kula, on the entire three rows, that the three borders that were mentioned. Each border he'll get the width of one row. In other words, what he's going to get is something that looks like a ches. Savala, says the Gemara, to explain the opinion of Rav Asi. So explains the Gemara. Savala, Rav Asi holds like Rav, the Yomer Shiur Shayur. The fact that he didn't mention the fourth side cannot be ignored. And since it can't be ignored, like Rav said, and Rav, because he said that the omission of the fourth side was not mentioned, has to be taken into consideration. Rav said that means that you're going to miss a telem on that fourth side, but says Rav Asi, once I accept the Medeshai B'Meitzer that he left over on that fourth side, I'm going to say that since the sale wasn't complete on the entire property, then we'll say that even on the other side, Medeshai B'Meitzer is L'Shai Nam B'Kula, and in all sides, he doesn't get more than one to left. Amar Rava, so says Rava, what is Dalocha? Dalocha is like Rav. Kana HaKol, you become the owner of everything besides the width of one telem. You become the owner of everything of besides one telem. The Ritva makes a point that even though, as we just learned, Rav Asi very much limited how much he's going to get. He's only going to get the width of one telem along the three borders that he mentioned. But that halacha will be applicable only in a case, says the Ritva, that the totality of what he has equals 9 kavin. Because 9 kavin, we're going to have the amount that could produce 9 kavin. We're going to have more than once in our shiurim that 9 kavin, a field that produces 9 kavin, is the smallest field possible. So if it produces 9 kavin, that's the minimum he has to get. If it ends up that he won't get such a small field, that certainly is not what was meant with the sale. But now continues the Gemara. V'loy amoran, ella loy mivla. When the fourth row is not included between the two borders on the side. And again, we look in the Rashbam. And the Rashbam indicates on the right is mivla and loy mivla. Aval mivla, if that row on the fourth side is just part of the entire property, Kana, he certainly meant to sell the entire property. Moreover, says the Gemara, even a case with Sloy Muvla, that we said you sold the whole property, Nami El Maron El De Ikol Erich for the Dikla. There is a row of trees on that row, the Havetashis Kabin, and that's, and it, like we just learned, and it measures Tesha Kabin. So that's why it's considered an independent area. If it doesn't have on it this row of trees, and it also doesn't have the shear of Tesha Kabin, it's not considered enough to be independent. So the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara, we seem to learn the Gemara that you have to have two conditions. It has to be that there's a richva de dikla, and it's teisha kabin. And then it could be considered independent. However, the Rashbam doesn't learn like that. The Rashbam says what the Gemara means to say is that you have both. Either if it has richva de dikla, or it has teisha kabin, either alone is enough of a reason, is enough of a situation that you could consider it an independent property. Mechlal, says the Gemara, from what Rava just taught us, you need to have these conditions. The chimuvla, in a case where it's muvla, afagav dikla richva de dikla, and it's teishas kabin, but the fact that it's muvla, it's enough to be considered that it's part of the property. And since it's considered the part of the property, that's why it's enough to be considered enough part of the property. When do you when is it considered you bought everything? Ela mivla. Avaloi mivla, if it's not mivla, like the picture on the left shows, then it's separate. And says the Gemara further, ki mivla, that we said when it's mivla, namely amaran el deleka lerik for the dikla. There's not a row of trees. Veloi havitish kabin. Avaloka lerik for the dikla, vitishis kabin, then the aloch is loikona. Mechlal, says the Gemara, loy mivla, in a situation of loy mivla, afgav the leka lerik for the dikla. And also loy havitishis kabin, the aloch is loikoni. So says the Gemara, now that we learned these two different versions, the Gemara summarizes what they agree and where they disagree. And many, many Rishonim say that the next piece of Gemara we're going to learn is really not part of the Gemara. But the next part of Gemara we're going to learn is what Rabbi Yehuda Goyin included in the Gemara from the Rabbanan Savroi. The Rashbam, however, seems to learn that this is something that is part of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Shemina mitavai lishna d'rava. Whatever version of what Rava says, we can surmise. The besod in the field itself, l'shai v'lamidi, there's no question that this buyer gets the entire field. The entire discussion that we are having here, suggests the Gemara, is only regarding, the entire discussion that we're having here is only regarding what is or isn't included on the fourth side. Says the Gemara furthermore, v'shamina nami, de'hecha de mivla, in a case where the border is mivla, or in a case where leka le'aricha de dichla, and in a case le'havetesh is kabim, it doesn't have anything to differentiate it, again, it becomes the buyers. But, loy mivla, in a case where it's not mivla, and also ikal le'aricha de dichla, it has a row of trees, and also it produces tishus kabim, so it's certainly very separate, and loy kona, it's not included in the sale. Says the Gemara, where do we have the machlokes? Where it's mivla, vikala, it's mivla, it has a row of trees, or it has enough for tishus kabim, so that's on one hand enough to consider it an independent area, or in a case where it's loy mivla, it's not together with the rest of the property, but lekole, it doesn't have trees, it doesn't have tishus kabim. And says the Gemara, itmele lahai gisa, some say that it becomes the buyers, itmele lahai gisa, and then some say it becomes this, it remains with the seller, and as we mentioned earlier, that the aloch is shuda the dinam. And the Rashbam and Tosfos make a point. This concept of shuda the dina is something that we normally don't follow. Normally, we follow the principle of hamotzi mechaveroi olav haraya. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, why don't we say hamotzi mechaveroi olav haraya here, as we always say? Says the Gemara, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that halacha, this way I understand the Aruch HaShulchan, halacha has to make sense. And to say that when somebody was selling a property, what he meant to do was sell the entire property and just leave one row for himself is very unusual. It can happen, but it's unusual. So just to say Hamaitz Mechavera Olav Araya and Paskin that way, the Gemara, the Rishonim and the Paiskim say to Aruch HaShulchan is difficult to say. And because it's difficult to Paskin that way, that's why over here the Paiskim say what we need to do is Shuda the Dayanim, leave the Dayanim to make the evaluation. Did somebody mean to leave out just one row? Something unusual, or is that not what he meant to do? And since that's not what he meant to do, then we'll say that shuda the dina. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, if somebody sells a property that was owned by Shutfim, and one of the partners sold his share to somebody from the street, and he said, "Palga de Islay Ba'ara, half of what I have in this property, I'm selling to you." So then, Palga, he said, so obviously the buyer will get half the property. But he said, if the wording that he used was Palga Ba'ara de Islay, half of what I have in this property, I'm selling to you. So then he'll only get river. He'll get half of what he meant to say, what he owed. Half of half. Amalei, Abaya. So Abaya asked the question, the obvious question. Mashna hachi, mashna hacha. Why is there a difference when he used the word palga desle, where he gets 50%, versus when he said palga bar desle, that he gets 25%? Amalei Abaya, mashna hachi, mashna hachi. It says the Gemara, in this case, and we had a similar wording earlier in the shir, ishtik. He remained ishtik. He remained quiet. And it's interesting to point out that Abaya is asking a question to Rabba, and the Gemara says that Rava remained quiet. Rava meant quiet. And Abaya, as we'll see now, says, Omar Abaya, and not Savri, it was my opinion, mid the ishtik, what did Rabbi's silence indicate? Kabuli, kabuli, that he's accepting my question. Says the Gemara v'lohi, that's not what it means. Chazina hanishtari, because I saw different documents, the nokve beimei, that came out of the bezdin of Rava, v'ksiba hachi, and it says there, palga da'ar isli ba'ara, in a situation where I have half of the land, that's when the buyer will get palga. But if the wording was the palga be'ara da'asle, so the fact that he added those words, palga be'ara, it means that he's giving him half of half. And by giving him half of half, we means is that he only gets 20-25%. And as the Ritva explains, Abaya was not agreeable to Rava that differentiates between, somebody says, Chatsi Sheshli Besada. By saying Chatsi Sheshli Besada, he means that he's speaking about the entire field. And by saying Chatsi, he means half of that field. But somebody who uses the word Chatsi Besada Sheshli, there he means half of half. And Abaya said, if somebody means to say half of half, that's not the way one would normally express himself. And therefore, in both cases, it means that he's selling the entire half. Moreover, I saw that the Rishonim say, based on this Gemara, that we see that obviously this person owns half the field and he's selling half the field. And there's a general question, and that is, if two people own a field in partnership, can each one sell his share without notifying his partner? And it seems from this Gemara, Rabbi Chanan discusses this, that yes, each partner could sell his share, and that's why over here, each partner is going to sell his share. But in the case of Yarshim, says Rabbi Chanan, where two brothers inherited a property together, there, says Rabbi Chanan, that they can't each share. Once they divide the property and everybody gets their share, so obviously, once they divide the property and everybody gets their share, everybody shares could sell what they own. But prior to the division of the property, even though I know I'm going to get 50%, my brother knows that he's going to get 50%, we may not sell even the share that we will eventually get.